gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100-yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Simpa Kacho. I'm your co-host, Eric, and I always am always joined by my co-host. I want to run.
What's going on?
You know what we do? We talk about the National Football League on a weekly basis, including the playoffs. Ron, how are you feeling about week number three?
I'm looking forward to it. We're 2-0 right now, we being the Steelers. Excited about this game. I think this will be a really good measurement. You know, us playing the Chargers to see where we're really at. Are we really a good team or are we not?
Why would not be a good team? What makes you think that the Steelers are not a good team? They're undefeated.
That doesn't mean anything. I think you know, it's the beginning of the year. Play two suspect teams, or at least a rookie quarterback being one of them. And, you know, I think lots can happen at the beginning of the year. I think there's fool's gold.
So Atlanta was not a good opponent?
I think they were a good opponent, but I think Kirk Cousins and the whole offense decide to skip the entire offseason, preseason. And when you do that, you come out rusty, and that's, you know, so that the win is a little bit misleading. And Atlanta's better than what they put out there week one.
Well, we are, as always, we're going to have some NFL news. We're going to review the week number two play games. We're going to do predictions for week number three. And then we'll go over our games and upset specials. And of course, we'll do a power rankings. And I forgot to mention this, Ron, but this is episode number 99.
Yeah, we're almost there, man.
We're almost to the hill. But first, let's do some NFL news. Tua injury. So he's not going on in the protocol? What's his deal?
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's in the concussion protocol. They just put him out on IR, right? Which means he has to miss the next 4 weeks. It basically buys them time, not only for them to make a decision with him, but for him to make a decision about what he wants to do in his future. And from all the news reports that are out there, there's no chance of him retiring or anything like that. But I think it does give him a chance to get better, number one, and think more about his what he can do to be safer, you know, if he does intend to come back and play. So whether it's changing the helmet, whether it's not running, whether it's sliding, you know, what can he do to be safer going forward?
So does that mean that Miami's out then?
No, because I think they feel like, okay, he's missing 4 weeks. What can we do in the next 4 weeks? Can we go 500, right? And then before Tua comes back, can we possibly go 3-1 with the backup, whoever their backup is?
And still, Skylar Thompson, yeah, I think, is a backup.
And still remain in contention. So I don't think the season's over with at all. It really depends on how they... Now, if they go 0-4, then it might be a more difficult, you know, stretch for him to come back and make that big of an impact where he can bring them back into the playoffs. But,
well, the next four games are at Seattle, Titans, at Patriots, at Colts.
Those are great teams to play, right? With a backup quarterback.
I mean, ideally, they could possibly go 3-1.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, but...
Who are they losing to?
I'm sorry, 1-3.
One.
3-1, they're losing to Seattle.
Seattle, you think so? Okay.
Yeah, I think Seattle's better than them.
Yeah. How much better, I don't know, but we'll see.
Well, they're playing in Seattle.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a West Coast trip for them, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think their season's over. I don't think they can.
But you're generally doom and gloom anyways after 1 week.
This is week number two and they're 1-1.
So what? It's 1-1. There's teams that are 0-2. Their season isn't over.
Well, we'll talk about that because there's some teams that mathematically, they don't have a chance.
Of course they do. Bryce Young, still young. The season's young.
No, the season's not young. The season, if you start 0-2, it's a big, big hill to climb.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't have the right team that does that, your season's over. Bryce Young, benching.
Yeah.
Why is this a shock? I see the news and everybody's like, oh man, Bryce Young, he just can't do it.
But I don't think it's a shock based on his performance. I think people are upset of what has happened with him and Carolina over the last like 2 years, right? So he's been, what, this is his third coordinator or something, third different coordinator. It's not all on him, right? They decided not to play him at all, I think, in the preseason. You're installing a whole new offense and you make decision not to play him, but like, I think one game or something like that in the preseason, that doesn't make any sense. So he looks like a deer in headlights. The coach's job is to come in there and make sure he's prepared and ready, but obviously the guy's not, right? And that's not just Bryce's fault. I think it's the coach's fault. I think it's the ownership's fault. I think development, you can look all across the board. There are a lot of people that should have some blame. But I think the reason why people are jumping at, you know, to protect him is because of how Carolina handled the situation.
I mean, yes, all those things that you mentioned are part of it, but he's just hasn't been good since day one. So not only his performance, but you can't, if you're the owner of the Panthers, you can't justify keep throwing him out there and keep losing.
He's not ready. Forget about wins and losses. He's not ready. Yeah.
So that's why I subscribe to, if you're a rookie,
no, but it's not, you're that not black gonna and
be
white.
Ready.
It's
you're not going to be ready.
That black and white. There's a lot of things that go into it, right? One is, are you mentally, physically ready?
Do you think Bryce Young was mentally ready?
No, obviously not. You're installing a whole new offense, and you don't even give him a chance.
Even before with the coach, before Canales, you think he was ready?
Yeah, I think he was ready.
I think he has one win.
Yeah, but so, like I was saying, right? There's more that goes into it. One, are you mentally, physically ready? Two, where's your team?
You think that the rookies right now are mentally ready? Bo Nix?
Let me finish, right? Two, where is your team, right? Where's your team at? Meaning, are you in a transition period and your team's crappy? Or can your team actually protect you, right? And you can actually win games. And I think that has a huge impact, right? Carolina stinks. They've stunk for 2 years. They could have had a veteran in there if he's not mentally ready. They could have put a veteran in there to start and give him time to develop to get there. Now, if they had a good team around them, if he was on a good team and, you know, they can protect him, talking about pass protection and stuff like that, and he seemed to like get it mentally, then yeah, I'll throw the rookie in there. That's
you think Bo Nix has good pass protection?
I'm not
Williams
saying
Williams has good pass protection. What I'm saying is that if your team is not ready overall, you just can't put a rookie on there and be like, you know what, we're gonna win so many games because we finally got the QB of our dreams. I still think that you might dominate in college, but when you get to the pros, it's a whole different ballgame.
But it's a case-by-case basis. Wouldn't you not say that? Was Stroud ready?
Stroud is an anomaly.
Yeah.
You can't compare Stroud to anyone else.
But there's other quarterbacks who've come in.
Wild quarterbacks.
Okay, so RG3, his rookie year, right?
And what happened to RG3?
Okay, but he got hurt. But okay. His rookie year was phenomenal. Right?
Did he go to the playoffs? I don't think he did.
Cam Newton, his rookie year. There's plenty of examples. There's probably double examples of it not working because the guy's either not mentally, physically, or the team's just not ready. So I look at the Patriots, for example. To me, the Patriots have a good team. I think the offensive line is decent.
No, it's not decent.
It's not horrific.
Then you were with me when you saw Brissett getting beat up, and now you tell me it's decent?
You're basically lying to my face and saying that is decent.
It's not decent.
The chance of them winning with Brissett versus
Drake May
are not that far apart. That's what I personally, the two of them in terms of talent.
No, they're not that far apart.
So if he doesn't understand the playbook, right? He doesn't know how to make a freaking call or get his team in the huddle, then he's not ready. But if he can do those things, right, and you still have the same opportunity to win, put him out there.
No.
Let him deal with it. You got to get your lumps.
A couple of hits. At least Brissett knows the hits are coming, and he's ready for them. And he's like, you know what? They pay me $8 million. I'm going to take all these hits. If you put Drake May out there and he gets hit, you can have a Sam Darnold situation. You can have a Daniel Jones situation where they're like literally afraid of playing football. You don't want to do that.
Listen, if that's the case, if they are that mentally weak, it doesn't matter if it's year one or year five. They're not the right person for your team,
period. That's why.
You got to get out there.
You don't know what you have until 2 years, maybe 3 years. Because let's think about Cam Newton. He didn't go to the Super Bowl year one.
But I'm not saying they need to go to the Super Bowl in order to justify playing them.
He didn't go to the playoffs until year three. So
it doesn't mean that they shouldn't get that experience under them if they're ready and if you as a team is ready.
I just think that with Bryce Young,
he wasn't ready. I think we can agree on that.
They had the change in coaching staff and all that stuff, which made it more difficult.
Right.
Kind of like the very similar to the Mac Young situation, Mac Jones, where he had no stability whatsoever. And this is what happens.
Well, Mac Jones had a great rookie year. And then from there,
the coaching changes.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. No stability.
Yeah.
You have to have stability.
Absolutely. You have to have those things. And for Bryce Young in Carolina, they have been the opposite of that. I mean, you trade away McCaffrey, you trade away all, like Burns this year. I mean, look how many players they've gotten rid of. And, you know, for what?
Yeah, exactly. So the other set of news, the injury bug is going around. Now, this injury bug, is it due because players are not ready? The preseason is not long enough? Like, what's your thought on why players are getting injured?
I don't know. So injuries happen all the time, but the number of injuries that have happened, especially in the names that have of the folks that have been injured, are big names, right? So obviously McCaffrey, for example, now Debo hurt on San Francisco. You got like the whole Rams receiving unit, right? With Cooper Kupp now, I think, going out on IR. You got A.J. Brown missing some games. Isaiah Pacheco, Kansas City. He's going to miss like 8 weeks. These are big names. So, and there's a lot, I think, that goes into it. Sometimes things are just like accidents happen, freak things happen. But I do think when you're not playing, getting your body physically ready, and there's very little opportunity to do that in the preseason. But when you're not participating in the preseason, you're sitting out. That, I think, when your body's not ready, you're more susceptible to injuries. And I think that's probably part of what we're seeing.
Yeah, and I think that if you, with this new CBA rules, if you're not contact, if you're not doing any kind of contact drills because you're being protected, whatever the case might be, when you get into a real game with contact and full speed, this is the outcome.
Yeah,
this
is absolutely.
Listen, I'm all for protecting players, but this is like, if your team is not ready for the injury bug to hit you, I don't know. I feel for you. I feel bad for you if you're not ready.
Yeah.
So Love is back practicing. Is it the end of the Willis saga, or is he going to play one more game?
We'll see. I don't think we know necessarily just yet, but talk about not being prepared and still coming out. Didn't they win that game this past week?
Against the Colts, yep.
Yeah, so talk about being lucky. You know, Malik Willis, listen, they didn't ask him to do a lot. If he has to play this week, they're not going to ask him to do a lot. They know his what his limitations are. And, you know, but Love seems to be progressing well where he's back at practice. And maybe there's a chance that he'll actually see the field this week.
Yeah, I'm just glad that the Packers are there for to give Detroit, because they're not going to walk away with that division. And I thought they would. But now that Love is back at practicing, maybe there's a chance. Okay, let's go over our week two games. And right now, with the new accounts that we have, you actually have a lead on me. So you have 22 wins total, 22 points against 17. Because that when I was tallying up the numbers, you actually hit the trifecta for week two. You predicted both teams correctly and the upset special. So when you hit the trifecta, there's no prize. You just get more points, right? And let's talk about our teams. Pittsburgh at Denver. Really, wasn't anything shocking, or did you think something shocking was going to happen?
No, I thought we would win easily. I think, what was the score I predicted? 24-10.
They ended up winning 13-6.
13, yeah. So, listen, we...
At least there's a touchdown.
Yeah. There were opportunities that were left on the field. Self-inflicted errors, you know, with penalties. Some were ticky-tack. Others were true penalties that should have been called. But, you know, the second half was a complete disaster offensively. And thank God for, you know, our defense being healthy, for us having a really, really good defense this year. Because I think all we managed was one first down in the second half, if I remember correctly. And that is not sustainable. It's not acceptable. And no matter what people think about Justin Fields and what his numbers look like, and you at the end of the day, you're judged by how many points you scored, right? And this was the argument last year about why, you know, people were pissed at, like, Kenny Pickett, you know, because his numbers were efficient, but they weren't scoring that many points. So we're here through 2 weeks, and we talked a little bit at the beginning. Steelers are 2-0, but they scored like 31 points total. That is not, to me, acceptable. I don't care what the issue is. It needs to be fixed. Because when we start to play real teams, if you can't go out there and score points, you're not gonna win. So we'll see what happens this week. I think this is a good matchup for us this week with the Chargers coming in. It's another favorable matchup. So that's the team that's going to go out and throw, you know, 50 touchdowns on us or anything like that. They kind of play the same kind of game that we do. So I think that favors us a little bit. But, you know, when we start to face teams that can score points, I think we got Dallas coming up in a couple of weeks. That's going to be, you know, a huge challenge for us. So offensively, I'm just waiting for Wilson to get healthy and be back, and to see if he makes that a difference. And can, you know, we can start to score some more points.
So they're 2-0 on top of the league, but you still worry that they're not scoring enough points.
Oh, absolutely. I think they've been atrocious offensively. I think they've been okay at times, and then other times you're like, what are we doing? And it's not the play calling. It's just the execution. It's just the self-inflicted, you know, errors, mental errors, penalties. Some are, like I said, are ticky-tack, but you just can't have those.
Yeah, because I saw in the first half, every time that Pickett caught the ball, there was a flag. He had to dance down and everything, but he had to come back. So yeah. It's almost like purposely the refs were like, bring it back.
I mean, his stats, if you were to include like the plays that have been taken away from him, he'd be one of the top receivers out there now in the league. But, you know, he's had a number of big plays that have been taken away. he's just unguardable. You know, he's not going to beat you like in terms of just getting wide open, but one on one, the ball's up in the air. You know, 9 times out of 10, he's the one coming down with it. So he's just a really, really good receiver. He's gotten a lot better at running his routes. It's difficult to defend. You know, we've been hitting some of those plays, but we just got to play a clean game where there's no penalties. And I think his numbers will improve.
Well, it's early in the season, so it's just a matter of having the offense be disciplined enough where those big plays are not called back. I don't know what to say about New England because there was no turnovers. We had more first downs than Seattle. Seattle had 50 more yards than us, but overall,
it was a winnable game.
It was a very winnable game, but there was a blown call with DK Metcalf, 54 yards, where Duggar came out in the post game and said, "I messed up. I called out a full blitz, which means that I have the deep zone, the deep outside guy." And he himself was like, that cost us a game. But if you really drill down, it was the offense that caused the game, because at the end of the second half, it was 3 and out. And then at the end of overtime, it was 3 and out. And both those times, Seattle scored. So I think that the Patriots are in the right path. They just got to keep working on it.
They played better than I thought they would. Now, you had them winning. I had them losing. My prediction was that they were going to lose 17-13. They're playing better than I thought they would play. I just think there's some things that do alarm me still. Defensively, 300 yards, Geno Smith, 103 rating. That's not acceptable. And it's a little bit surprising, to be honest with you.
It is very surprising because they had no running game at all. Walker was out, so it was all Geno. And even if he just did a lot of dunk 5 yards here and there, it's still a lot. It adds up, right? It adds up. I think they can be better. We'll see what happens tomorrow night at MetLife Stadium, but I think they can be better. Ron, let's talk about these teams that are 0-2. Because you say that they still have a chance, and I say they don't have a chance. And there's 9 teams that are 0-2 right now. But I'm just going to focus on the ones that we thought could make a playoffs. So let's start in the NFC. There's only one team that's 0-2 right now that I picked, is the LA Rams. Are they going to make the playoffs?
I think they have a good team. You cannot get over the amount of injuries that you have, though, all at the same time. To lose 2 of your top receivers. I don't know if Nacua is back this week. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So, and now, you know, they have a good team. That's the unfortunate thing. I think they're actually pretty decent.
I don't think they're decent because when I look at their defense.
Yeah, the defense play terrible.
The defense, it's in the top 5 in giving up yards in the rushing and passing. So to me, even if eventually those guys come back from the injuries, until that defense gets better, I actually like the Cardinals to come out over the Rams if Kyler Murray plays the entire season. But honestly, I don't see them coming back. And I love McVay. He probably one of the top offensive coaches out there. And I just, because Matt Stafford, if he gets hurt, Garoppolo, I don't think he's ready yet. I think he's just coming back from suspension.
But here's what I'll say. So in that division, though, you got the Cardinals, right? We'll see how good they are. Some people think they're good. Some people think, oh, they're over-unders, like 5 wins, right? But some people had them in the playoffs. So I think there's some unknowns with the Cardinals. But you got the Seahawks that are, you know, a pretty good team. They're a decent team, but they're the middle of the road team, right? They're usually like 9 wins, 10 wins, somewhere around there. San Francisco is a good team, but look at how many injuries they have, right? Debo, the running back McCaffrey, he's out. Purdy hasn't played well. The tight end's hurt now, too. Kittle, I think, is out. Purdy hasn't played well either. So if San Francisco, getting to my point, stumbles the next like 3 weeks, let's say they, you know, go 1-2 or they go like 1-3 over the next like 4 weeks, you're still not completely out of it, right? So it, yeah, you got to get healthy fast. You got to fix the defense, to your point. You can't give up 67 points in 2 games. But if those guys start to get healthy and you don't lose any more players and you can grind out some wins, then if you can stay in it, then, you know, if you can get healthy at the end of the season, that's when it really matters.
I just, that would mean that they would have to wait. They have to at least go 9-5 the rest of the season. And I just don't see that going 9-5, especially in the division where San Francisco has a good defense. Seattle has a pretty good defense. At least if, you know, that coach, and we'll talk about Baltimore soon. And I don't know about the Cardinals, if they have a good defense. I have to look at the numbers, but I feel like, yes, everyone's hurting on offense, but on defense, they're still there.
Yeah.
And if you can stop the Cardinals on offense with your defense, you have a chance. So I don't know. I don't think the Rams are going to be there. So let's jump to the AFC, because here is where it gets kind of ugly. And let's start with, you picked Baltimore to win this division. They started the season 0-2. Can they bounce back?
Listen, they won to Kansas City, or lost to Kansas City, excuse me. We both, looking at our rankings, have Kansas City's number one team in the league. So that's nothing to be ashamed of. So they got to start rolling some wins out for sure, but it's not completely over.
And they play Dallas next week. So yeah, if they go 0-3, is it okay? Because that means that they would have to go, I think to win the division, you need at least 10 games.
Probably need 10 wins.
They would have to go 10-5 the rest of, 10-4 the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Do you really picture them going 10-4?
Maybe. Why not? Lots of things happen. Injuries happen across the board to other teams.
They
need to start getting some wins, without a doubt. 0-2 is, you know, it's not a death sentence, but you are digging yourself a hole that you need to get out of. So they are, in my opinion, still the best team in the AFC North. I think they've shown that the last like couple of years or so. I don't have faith in Cincinnati or Cleveland. And we've already talked about, you know, Pittsburgh. So I think they'll be okay. Like, they're a team that, if I'm looking at, if I'm a Ravens fan, am I disappointed? Sure. But I think week one proved that I can compete with Kansas City for sure. So, you know, I think they'll be okay.
This is the thing that worries me. Their defense is not very good right now. I think they've given up the most, top 5 in passing yards. Their run defense is good. They've given up the least. For some reason, every time they get a 10-point lead, they blow it in the fourth quarter. Why? I don't know. That, I don't think this coaching, I think, is the player personnel, or, you know, and this is just my take. And this goes to Jalen Hurts, and it goes to Lamar Jackson. I feel like they want to do more in the offense, but why it wasn't broken? Why, you know, why they're like, you know, I can do more. I don't know. I haven't really pinned down this whole take, but it's like I know that you want to do more for your team and like more responsibility, but if it wasn't broken, you were winning games. So I don't know. I feel like they might be doing a little bit too much in my estimation. Let's go to the AFC South, because the Texans
are 2-0. What about Cincinnati though in AFC North? You see them making it?
Well, we don't have them making it at all. So why even? I left them because they'll usually always have a little slow start. So yeah. I think they'll fix that eventually, but I'm just focusing on the teams that we picked to make the playoffs. And the AFC South, you picked the Colts. I picked the Jaguars. They're both 0-2. Can they make it?
I think so. Again, listen, the Colts, man, it's been up and down for
the Colts defense is terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. The run defense, their passing defense, it's just terrible.
It's been an up and down season for the Colts offense. That's the part I'm worried most about, because you just can't turn the ball over. And Richardson, he's had a number of touchdowns, but last game, what, he had 3 interceptions or something like that? That's a winnable game against the Packers and a quarterback that just came off of like the feet, off the streets not too long ago. So that's a game that you have to win, even if it's in Green Bay. I don't know what else to say about the Colts. I think it falls heavily on Richardson. I think we know that he needs to play better. There's been some great highlights for sure, but there's been the turnovers, and he needs to get that fixed.
Well, the Jaguars are just, to be honest, Trevor Lawrence is not that guy. He's just not that guy. And I don't know if they make a shift and go to Mac Jones. I don't know. He's just been, the last 2 games has been terrible. Turnovers. The line is not even good. I don't know. The Jaguars are worrying me, because if the Houston gets another win and then get another win, they can lock this by mid-season. They can lock this division by mid-season.
But Lawrence, didn't he throw for like, how many yards he threw? Well, he threw for 220, I guess, against Cleveland. Just trying to pull up his stats real quick. He's got sacked 4 times. That's probably part of the problem there, right? So, I don't know, man. I don't know what to say.
That's what I mean. It's like there's 9 teams right now that are 0-2. And if we go back to 2021, when the NFL went to 17 games, there's been 21 teams that started the season 0-2. Guess of those 21 teams, what made the playoffs? How many?
Out of the 21 teams? 5?
3.
Wow. 3. Okay.
That's 15%. So if 9 teams right now are 0-2, if you apply that math, that's 1 team that's going to make the playoffs. And I agree, it might be Baltimore, but we all know that next week is going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
So let's do our week 3 predictions, Ron. And we're going to skip Thursday night game and just go right into Sunday. Green Bay Packers at Tennessee Titans. Tennessee is actually favored by 2.5. The over number is 37.5. What's your pick, Ron?
I'm going to go with Green Bay. one, I think, what's his name, is going to play. That's going to make a huge difference. And listen, Tennessee, they haven't been playing well. The quarterback hasn't been playing well. He's turning the ball over way too much. The turnovers have been horrific looking too. It's not like, it's like, what are you doing? Like, you're going to lose your job if you keep doing those, making those stupid decisions. So,
if they lose this week, is it Mason Rudolph time?
That's what I'm starting to wonder. I'm wondering at what point do you pull the plug, but he's no different than Bryce Young, right? He's a second year player, right? showed some flashes a little bit last year. It's hard to pull the plug on the guy who's your second year player who's supposed to be your future, right? So we'll see if they lose this game.
But Callahan didn't draft him.
Yeah.
So if I was the coach, I'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm here to win games, not to stroke your ego.
Yeah, it's true.
So if Mason Rudolph comes in, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Chicago Bears at Indianapolis Colts.
Wait, what was your pick? You picked Green Bay, too.
Green Bay all the way. Green Bay all the way. Bears at Colts. Colts are favored by 1.5. That's kind of weird. 44.5 is over. Nando, Ron, what'd you pick?
I got Chicago winning, but I'm like, this game has me nervous. And I'm high on Chicago. Last week, how many times he got sacked? What was it, like 8 or 9 or 10 times? Something ridiculous.
The last two games, he's had a average of 53 quarterback rating. That's 30th in the league.
Yeah, but he's getting killed. Like, if you look at some of the replays.
But I thought Chicago looked good on paper.
The offensive line are good
receivers, good running back.
They are like trying to get him killed. Like, they need to fix that as soon as possible. But I got Chicago winning. I think their team is, they still have a good team. Listen, they were even as poor as like the offensive line play. They were in that game in Houston, right? So give me the Bears to win this one.
I got the Bears too, only because the Colts defense is so, so terrible. You can run on them, you can throw on them, and I think this week they're going to tell Williams, hey, quick release. Don't hold the ball, just two-step dropbacks and get rid of it. Houston Texans at Minnesota. Houston's favored by 1.5. 46.5 is over and under. Ron, who'd you go with?
I'm going with Houston. I think they're a good team. I'm not buying Minnesota, even though they're 2-0. I just don't buy it. I think they'll fall back into reality this week, and Houston's gonna pull it off.
I'm going with Minnesota because number one, they're playing at home. Number two, Brian Flores has that defense unstoppable. They lead the league in sacks. I didn't check their interceptions, but they're just a turnover machine. And even the Mike's got caught Brock Purdy telling Flores, hey, your schemes are out of this world. I just can't see TJ Stroud now that his second year, now that there's videotape on him. I just can't see Brian Flores just be like, you know what? Let him do what he does. Because that game against the Bears, Houston didn't blow my wig back. I was like, what? You should be beating the Bears. What's going on here?
Bears have a good defense, though.
They do have a good defense, but is it better than Minnesota's defense? I don't think so.
I think so, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know about that.
Minnesota, listen, you got to put everything into context, right? So Minnesota's 2-0. They're looking good. You're looking good against the Giants. Okay, you're supposed to look good, right?
Well, you look good against San Francisco.
No McCaffrey, right?
Listen, injury bugs, Debo, and every team has Samuel. Injury bugs.
I mean,
every team has an injury bug.
Come on. I mean, these teams, it's early. Players are injured. Put things into context. You just beat the Giants. It's like me saying, oh, the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl because we just beat Denver, right?
I'm not going to take out W away because you beat the Giants. I'm sorry. The Giants stink.
I'm not saying
stink.
To take
the
it
Giants
away.
Stink.
Yeah, I'm not saying to take it away. I'm just saying put stink. It into context here. I think Houston's a better team. Wouldn't you say Houston's a better team than Minnesota?
I guess we'll see now.
When we get to your rankings.
Yeah, not right now.
But
not right now.
Give me Houston. I don't care if they're on the road. I got Houston winning this one.
The next game is Philadelphia Eagles at Saints. Eagles are favored by 2.5. 48.5 is 0-1. Ron, who'd you pick?
Same, like, cut and paste what I just said about Minnesota. Attach it to New Orleans. I don't believe it. Give me Philly. Philly's gonna win. You know, I think they looked pretty decent. they're the better team. And I think, you know, Philly's going to win.
So Philly was a better team Monday night?
I think Philly played a decent game, and I think horrific coaching cost them that game.
Well, that's why I like New Orleans on this game, because for some reason, I don't know why, they're not utilizing Barkley like they should. I don't know why. I know AJ Brown wasn't there, but the fact that Jalen Hurts, for some reason, back to my original point, why is he doing all this? He doesn't have to. You got the tush push. There's so many plays out there that you have a good tight end. Just use them. You have a good receiver. Use your good receivers. I think he's trying to do too much. And I think that because the Saints are riding high in Carr for some reason, you could say it's Kubiak, whatever. I think that New Orleans takes this one, even though...
Listen, the Dallas game, impressive. Dallas just wasn't... Someone should be fired. You don't show up at all and get embarrassed.
At home,
that shouldn't happen. But the first game, again, if you put things in context, they play Carolina, who we just said is like the worst team in the league. So how good is New Orleans, really? We'll see. We'll find out.
The next game, Denver Broncos at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is favored by 7 points. The over and under is 39.5. Would you go with?
Yeah, Tampa winning easily.
Yeah, this should be a Tampa just taking over. Although the Denver Broncos look good in the second half, but they don't have no offense. So Carolina Panthers at Las Vegas. 7 again is the spread for Vegas. The points at 37.5. Ron, what you go with?
Well, I'm taking Las Vegas. I think they play hard. They may not have the best team when they're on the field every week, but they got good players. They play hard. I think you don't like the coach, but I think they're a pretty decent, well-coached team. And they should take care of business this week.
Well, they're a well-coached team because he basically has every coach he's ever played for mentoring him. So, like, are you doing this by yourself, or is that you just calling Coughlin, your high school coach, your college coach? I don't know. I mean, I believe that, yes, you need to learn, but come on, man. Sometimes you just gotta do it yourself. The Dolphins at the Seahawks. Seahawks are favored by 6 points. It's 41.5. Who'd you go with?
I got Seattle winning this one. The point spread has me nervous. That 6 points seems like a lot, but I've also seen Miami defense at times just like not show up. So I got Seattle winning this one.
This is going to be the only loss for Miami against Seattle. So I got Seattle. Ravens at the Cowboys. Ravens are actually favored by 5 points. The over and under is 47.5. Who'd you go with?
Yeah, and I talked all that time about the Ravens, and they need a win here. But I'm putting stuff in context. Dallas is playing at home, and they just got freaking embarrassed, right? So if what's his name is anything of a coach, he's going to make sure they're prepared this week, and I think he's going to, figure out how to get Dallas a win here. That defense has to play a lot better, and they're going to figure out how to get a win at home. So I got to give you Dallas to win this game.
So you want? So the Ravens are going to go 0-3.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they're going to go 0-3.
And you think they can still get in the playoffs, win the division?
I'm not riding them out just yet, no.
Well, yeah, I went with Dallas. I think this should be a victory for them. The fact that Baltimore is favored by 5 points is kind of disrespectful to Dallas, and I think that they're going to show up. 49ers at Rams. Niners are favored by 7 points. The over and under is 45.5. Ron, who would you go with?
Yeah, despite the injury to Debo, give me San Fran. Rams are too injured at this point.
So that would make the Rams 0-3. And you still think that they can make the playoffs?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know, but next week when I do the, when I look up the 0-3 teams, they'll be like, no, there's nobody makes the playoffs.
Talk to me like week six. Let's see where they're at week six. Are they 3-3? And
you think that the Rams are going to be 3-3 by week six?
Okay, so maybe
you think
two
that
and four.
The Dolphins, the if Rams are going to be.
I might still give them a chance to get in.
Wow.
Talk about stubbornness. Lions at Cardinals. This is a Sunday night game. Oh, actually, no, sorry. This is 4:30 game. Detroit is favored by 3 points. 52.5 is the over and under. Who'd you go with?
I went with the Cardinals. Listen, I think this game can go either way. I do think Detroit's a better team, but Arizona, Kyler Murray, like when that dude is healthy, he's just magical. I think it's the best way to put it. They got some good players on their team, and they could put up points in a hurry. And Detroit, listen, they are a good team too, but they're not playing that well. They're not finishing drives. Now, it won't shock me if they win this game, but give me Arizona. That's just a hunch.
I got Detroit because I think that they got embarrassed last week by Tampa. I don't think they were expecting to lose that game. I think Jared Goff threw the ball 55 times, something ridiculous like that. I was like, why are you depending on Goff to have a good game? You have other players on that team that are playmakers, basically.
Tampa should have won last year in the playoffs against Detroit.
Yeah, I'm starting to be a little concerned about Detroit, but I think that they're going to fix whatever problems they have. Sunday night game, Chiefs at Falcons. The Chiefs are favored by 5 points. 46.5 is the over and under. This is your upset special, so we're going to leave it alone. For some reason, there's two Monday night games.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Jacksonville at Buffalo. Buffalo's favored by 6. 46.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you pick?
Buffalo. Give me Buffalo. I think they are a much better team. I don't think they'll let me down here. I can see them clearing that 6-point spread too. I can see this being a blowout, to be honest with you.
I'm going to have to agree. The way Jacksonville has been playing with the penalties, the offensive line, the turnovers, this is what Buffalo loves. You're like walking right into the Lions den with this one. The next Monday night game, for some reason, again, I feel, well, they're both ABCs. One is ESPN, the other one is ABC. The NFL is just taking checks. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're just like, are you going to pay us? We'll be there. Washington at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's favored by 7.5. 47.5 is the over and under. Who'd you go with, Ron?
Cincinnati. They should win this game pretty easy. I'm not saying they're all the way back now. The same team that lost to the Patriots week one, but they, you know, Washington is a bad team, period. So give me Cincinnati to win this one.
Yeah, since Washington is not there, and Cincinnati, I felt like they could have won against the Chiefs, but there was some questionable calls again with the Chiefs, always questionable calls. And it wasn't, I think it was Cincinnati's best game of the year so far, even though they lost. I just think that they're going to keep on getting better. This should be an easy, easy victory. Okay, so let's move on to our teams, Ron. New England at the New York Jets tomorrow night. The spread is 6.5 Jets. The over and under is 37.5 for the points. Ron, what's your prediction?
I predict a very, very close game. And I got the Jets winning this one 17-13. It would not shock me if New England wins this game. New England's defense is really good. They match up better, you know, really good with the Jets. Jets don't have a lot of options on offense, even with Rodgers there. So this should be a low-scoring game. It should come down to the wire. I got Jets pulling this one off 17-13.
I don't think this is going to be a close game. because the Jets' offense is getting better, right? They scored a couple of touchdowns against San Francisco.
It's Breece Hall and Wilson. That's it. Figure out how to stop those two guys.
Well, the running back for Breece Hall, the 1-2 punch that they have, I don't know what his name is, but all of a sudden he's good for some reason. I don't know why. The offensive line is getting together. I just don't know. New England would have to play a perfect game like they did against Seattle. And we're talking about Aaron Rodgers compared to Geno Smith and Breece Hall, which he's not an all-star yet. I wouldn't put him in the Pro Bowl, but he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a damn good player.
I just think that the Jets are going to score more points on Thursday night. So I got them winning 24-14. And that's, you know, again, that's New England playing at their best. I just don't think it's enough. The next game, we got the Chargers at Pittsburgh. Over and under is 2.5 for Pittsburgh. The point spread is 36.5. Ron, what's your prediction?
So I got another low scoring game coming down to defense, coming down to the last drive. Obviously, this is going to depend on the status of the Herbert. I think he looks like he's okay and will be cleared to play this week. So I'm assuming he's playing. I got the Chargers winning this one. It's our home opener, yes. Our defense is great, yes. But if you were to ask me, who do I trust more as a offensive coordinator and slash coach, I'm taking Harbaugh. I am. I'm going to give them the advantage, and I think they pull off a win 13-10. It's going to be an ugly, ugly, low-scoring game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is going to be low-scoring. I do have the Chargers winning just because they have a far, far better quarterback, and I think I like the coach, but not by a lot. I still like Mike Tomlin, but he has a terrible, even if it's Fields playing, I just don't trust Fields. Even if he plays mistake free, he's not going to put up a lot of points for Pittsburgh. I just don't see that happening. And both teams like to run. Both teams like to double tight end set and all that stuff. I don't know if it's going to be an ugly game. I think it's going to be a very physical game. Yes, Pittsburgh has a better defense, but I just don't think Harbaugh is going to let Herbert take so many chances.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, listen, Chargers got some defensive ends, too. So, you know, Fields better be careful because, you know, that defense is really good, too. So, we'll see.
So, who's your upset special? I know we partially went on it, but...
Yeah, so I'm going with the Kansas City-Atlanta game. I just talked about Atlanta starting to turn the corner now, I think. They played really good. Yeah, they probably should not have won on Monday. Sirianni blew that game, but they played well, right? And Cousin is going to be more confident. He's going to gain confidence. He's going to get healthier, which I think is the most important thing. They still lack weapons, for sure. To put up a lot of points, I think they're missing some receivers and stuff like that. But Bijan Robinson is a beast. Give me, you know, Atlanta at home pulling off the upset here, 26-23. Let me talk about Mahomes for a second and Kansas City. Great team. Got him ranked number one. We'll talk about our rankings a little bit. Mahomes makes a lot of freaking mistakes that the national media doesn't talk about. Like, how many turnovers has he had already this season? His stats, like, he turns the ball over a lot, but he also makes up for it all the time, right? So, but I think if he's going to turn the ball over against Atlanta, they can pull it off. I can see them pulling off. Cincinnati almost pulled it off. So, you know, why not?
See, I'm gonna apply my keep it simple, stupid method to this game. And who is the better coach here? Andy Reid. Who is the better QB? Even though he might not be having a good season, Mahomes. Who has the better defense here? I'm going to have to go KC. From what I saw Atlanta, other than Matt Judon, I was like, who are these people? Who are the people? They paid all that money to the cornerback, and he still doesn't have a pick in like 300 games, something like that. I'm like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? And I think you're right. That game, they should have not won that game on Monday. It was Sirianni stupidness. But if this is a close game, I'm going to give it to KC. I'm not going to give it to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Atlanta has to, Kirk Cousins has a big, I mean, they have to blow out KC in order to have a chance. That's why the spread is 5 points. I don't see it.
Listen, I think Kirk Cousins, I know he has issues on prime time, but he just pulled off a win last week. I think, on Monday. So he looked good doing it. I think he looked pretty decent.
Well, that last drive, he looked good.
Yeah.
And the receivers looked good. Everything was caught. Everything, they had a good rhythm to everything. If they do that for fourth quarter or all four quarters, yes.
Yeah.
They have a chance. But I just don't know if they can do that.
I think a lot of it is his health, to be honest with you, and rust, because again, he didn't play at all. So now that he's two games in, this is week three, some of that rust he's like gotten rid of. I'm telling you, watch out for Atlanta.
My upset special, and this is a very, very, if they have a chance to win, I'm going to pick the Giants over Cleveland, because as I told you in week two, my oath is I'm not going to bet for Watson to win a game for the rest of the year. Even though he played better, and that's an air quote, I just think the Giants could pull this off. I know Cleveland has a good defense, but if the Giants start 0-3, I think we can talk about possibly having a change.
At quarterback?
Just everything. GM, coach, quarterback, everything. And I don't know. I think Tyrod Taylor is with the Jets. I don't know who their backup is. Might be Tommy DeVito again. I don't know. I just feel like if they don't win this game, they need to do something. They need to do something drastic, but that's my upset for the week.
Yeah. One thing I'll say about the Giants, it's not their running game that's been a problem, because, like I said, I didn't think there was going to be much of a difference with Barkley leaving statistically, because Barkley just hasn't been healthy. This guy, their running back, what's his name?
Singletary.
He's been good.
No, he's been good.
Yeah, 95 yards or something like that? Close to 100 yards this past week. So he's not the problem at all. We all know what the problem is.
Well, the defense hasn't looked very good.
Yeah, well, that's part of the problem too.
They spent all that money, draft capital, on getting Burns, and he's not really doing his thing. Ron, who are your power rank teams for this week?
All right, so let's get into it. Tough to figure out who our top 10 is going to be this week. Lots of like teams that are supposed to be good, like we talked about, that are 0-2. Some that are 2-0 that, are these really good teams or are these just pretenders? But listen, I got Kansas City number one. I don't think that changed from last week. No, it did not. So Buffalo number two. Previously I had San Francisco there. I dropped them out because of the injuries. Houston number three. Detroit number four. I didn't move them at all, I don't think. Yeah, they're number four last week. So even with the loss, I kept them there. The Chargers, I moved up to number five. That's the one I'm a little bit, I don't know, on the fence with. But, I had to put them somewhere.
You picked them this week, so they're going to go 3-0.
Yeah, so I got the Chargers number five at this point. The Saints, I'm still not high on the Saints, but I got to give them a little bit of respect. So I got them at number six. Seattle at number seven. Atlanta at number eight. Baltimore at number nine. Philly at number 10. So some teams that aren't there. I don't have Baltimore. I have them falling out. But I think they're still...
You have Baltimore at number nine. You think 0-2 is a top 10 team?
Yeah, I have Baltimore still there. I have the Dolphins dropping out, and San Francisco, I think, dropping out. But Baltimore, even as an 0-2 team, just
possibly 0-3, and you still have them as a
again, 10. It's context, right? Who did you play? How did you look?
You're basically projecting that this team will eventually do good.
Yes.
Ron, I project my daughters to be doctors and lawyers. Yeah. It doesn't mean that I'm going to put them in court.
Yeah.
You're taking away from teams that are winning, number one. You're taking away. Yes, because they're 0-2. They haven't won a game.
What I'm not doing is putting teams that are 2-0 that played like the Carolina Panthers or the Giants their first couple games and saying you belong in the top 10 because you played a bunch of garbage teams. I don't have Pittsburgh in here. They're 2-0. You played freaking Denver, right?
That sounds has like no a personal offense. Issue.
It's
that,
not, it's not it, it, this, it's this context.
Pittsburgh has, context. Has the best defense in the league and you're
it's
not a top 10?
Context, right? So I'm not saying they're far out of the top 10, but
what about the number 11?
Why not? Beat the Chargers this week. I got the Chargers at 5. Beat the Chargers this week. I'll put you in the top 10. But until you do that, until you play a real team, right?
Chargers are a real team?
Hey, Chargers are a decent team. They have a good defense, right? If the quarterback plays and he's healthy, you know, the coaching is good. They're a good team, right? Atlanta is a good team, but again, context. First game of the season, those guys didn't play at all preseason. That makes a difference, right? So, and Atlanta still almost like won that game. So Pittsburgh, I think, listen, they can, a lot of people have them in their top 10. Let me see what you do this week. Win this game and you'll be in the top 10. San Francisco, I think the injuries, same with the Rams. Like, it's hard for me to put you in that top 10 with all of those injuries.
See, I definitely disagree with Baltimore being there. They haven't won a game this season. They haven't won a game. Even if, yes, they haven't played Panthers, they haven't played the Giants, but they haven't won a game. And I don't know. I feel like my top 10 list, if you are undefeated on top of your division, no matter how bad your division is, you are a good team.
No,
because I'm not going to take those two victories away from you.
Matters. The more data you have, the more accurate your.
If the season was to end today, Baltimore's out. No,
but that's the point. The season doesn't end today. That is the point.
If the division, they're not even in the division leaders.
Games. Two does not equal trend. It doesn't, right?
Data matters. I just read you the numbers.
Context matters.
I just read you the numbers. Is that factual?
No, but the more data you have, the better and more clear your judgment is, okay? So
and you pick them to lose, so they're going to go 0-3, and you still have them on the top 10 league.
Why not? Context, right? The teams they've played and how they've looked. You're going to tell me they... So you got, let's see, the Chargers, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, San Francisco, New Orleans, Seattle. You're telling me all those teams are going to...
For San Francisco, none of these teams have lost.
But you are telling me that they're better than, if they were to line up with Baltimore, you would pick all of these teams over Baltimore.
Yes.
Lost your mind.
Yes.
You
lost your mind. Because I feel like Baltimore doesn't have the defense yet. So they're not there. They're not there. I'm sorry. They're not there. They're not going to make the top 10 ranking. So I have Kansas City, Buffalo, Houston, Seattle, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Chargers, Pittsburgh, Minnesota. San Francisco is the only one that I put there that has a loss. Listen, if you win, keep whatever formula is working. It doesn't matter if it's the Giants or the 49ers. You're winning. That's all that matters. Oh, the injury bug. There's no excuses.
It's not just injuries. It's not just injuries.
You have a bad coach, a bad GM, a bad front office. That's not my fault.
Yeah,
your team is losing. That's not my fault.
Yeah, but if you're beating crappy teams or teams with rookie quarterbacks or teams that just haven't played anybody in the entire preseason, I can't say by week 10... Right, and I am projecting by week 10 when I see more data.
There you go. See, when you do the projecting, you're setting yourself up to be disappointed.
No,
so
no.
If Baltimore doesn't make the playoffs,
I'm saying today,
will you be disappointed?
Will I be disappointed? No. Yes. Of course, that means the Steelers probably made the playoffs, so no, I won't be disappointed.
if Baltimore doesn't make the playoffs, and let's just say Philadelphia doesn't make the playoffs, will you be disappointed?
Not at all. Why would I be disappointed?
Projecting them to be a top 10 league, top 10 in the power ranking.
No, if San Francisco doesn't make the playoffs, are you going to be disappointed? They're in your top 10. If Tampa falls off.
I'm going to be disappointed because.
Tampa, I mean, even the Chargers, like, listen, context is everything. Are they in the top 10? We know them and Pittsburgh are probably really close, have difficulty scoring points. Defense is really good. Is that top 10? I don't know. Let me see some more games.
It is top 10. You have them in your top 10. I have them in the top 10. That's what I'm saying. If you're winning in the National Football League, you should be rewarded. Forget about projecting. Oh, I think in 10 weeks there should be more victories. We don't know. We don't know the future, Ron. I'm just telling you right now, these teams are winning. They're going to make my power ranking.
Okay. What's so San Fran, what's their record? 1-1?
1-1.
You don't have any 0-2 teams in here.
Of course. Why would I do that?
I'm just comparing. Even some of the 1-1 teams, I think, are better than some of your teams right here.
Well, sounds like personal.
Give
preference.
Me Cincinnati at 1-1 over Minnesota at 2-0 right now. Like, put them head to head. I'm taking Cincinnati.
New England beat them. You think the New England defense is better than the Minnesota defense?
Yeah, I do.
You're not looking at the stats because, like I mentioned before, they have more sacks, more turnovers. I'm sorry, but this is actually a good team.
All right.
I don't know how Sam Darnold is going to last. But
yeah. Let's see how, like, what this week holds and what your ranking looks like next week, right? I'm not going to argue. A lot of the teams, we have a lot of the same teams in here, and we've dropped off a lot of the same teams too. So I think what you're arguing with me with, like, what upsets you with my team? Like, Pittsburgh not being in there?
No, just Baltimore. That's it. I have a problem with your own 0-2 team on your top 10 power ranking.
Okay, so where would you say Baltimore is right now?
In the middle of the pack.
Like what? Middle as in what?
15, 16.
And if they go into Dallas and beat Dallas, then what?
They're 1-2. They're still not a top 10 team.
Oh my God.
1-2. You're not a top 10 team.
You lost to Kansas City in Kansas City by a toe, by the length of a toe, right? And you go into Dallas and then beat
you lost
Dallas.
To the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay.
After you had the lead.
But you're telling me.
You played worse at home?
Come on, man. I know. Listen, at the end of the day, I know results matter. Like, the standings is.
No one is going to remember how they lost.
Yeah.
They're just going to look at the L's and be like, whoa, you went 0-3 in 2024.
Well, now, I'm hoping
one toe, it could have been a win. Nobody's going to remember that, Ron.
Now you got me hoping Baltimore wins. That's what I should not be hoping for. I should be hoping that they lose, but now you got me wanting them to win just to prove you wrong. If that game comes down to the wire and Dallas kicks a field goal with like a second left, you're going to say Baltimore's terrible. And then you're going to have Dallas next week in your top 10.
Because the numbers say Dallas doesn't have a good defense. They're going to play Baltimore doesn't have a good defense. They're going to play a Dallas team who has a pretty good offense. If they go 0-3, are you still going to have them in your top 10 list?
No, at that point, I probably
won't. You actually thought about that.
You just said if Baltimore wins, you still wouldn't put them in your top.
Yeah, right? They go 1-2. I still wouldn't put them in my top 10. Because that means that whatever happens with Pittsburgh, whatever happens with Cincinnati, they're still not going to be in top of the division.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Listen, things will change. A lot of these teams, like when things shake out at the end, you know, by the end of the season, a lot of these teams won't be on the top 10 list. But for when I create this list, I am doing a little bit of projecting, but I am factoring injuries today. And then I'm looking at, like, if these teams were to line up against each other, these are the 10 best teams, in my opinion, if they were lined up and play each other, you know, today, right? So,
you have an 0-2 team. To me, that's mind-boggling that you have an 0-2 team. Because you're saying that they didn't play anybody. That's not Tampa Bay's fault. That's not New Orleans' fault.
The Ravens have played people, I'd say. So Tampa or Minnesota. Minnesota played... Will they play Carolina, I think it was. I forgot who they played now.
Yeah, they started the season in Carolina.
Or New Orleans did. But either way, there has to be some context. It does.
I don't know. I look at the week by week. Forget about the future. I don't know what the future holds. If your team is 3-0, you're going to be in my rank. That's just how it works. For me, anyway.
Yeah.
Ron, what do you have for the Steelers fan out there?
Listen, big week this week. I think this is be a better measuring stick of what our team looks like. Even though, like I said, I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I have us losing this game. I think Wilson is still a better player than Fields is. He obviously can't run like Fields can, but Fields, like some of the decision making, the slowness to process things, I think that's going to hinder him, not just in this game, but long term. I think he showed that in Chicago that he's just not, you know, to me, a franchise quarterback, but we'll see. But either way, I expect a good game and I'm hoping for a win, obviously. And I would love for them to surprise all of us and put up like 30 points this week. That'd be great. I just don't expect it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you picked a close score, so maybe that will help the Steelers. Because if it's a close score, it can go either way, right? So you're kind of leaving the window open, but this should be a victory for the Chargers. For the New England, my only hopes is just make it a little bit competitive. Whether it's the first half, whether it's the second half, just make it competitive. Don't let Rodgers just do whatever he wants out there. Just make it competitive. That's all I want. Just a competitive game. They're going to play tomorrow night.
Thursday night, yeah.
So, and that's our only primetime game this whole entire year. So, yes, it would be great if there was a victory. I just don't see it.
I think it's going to be close. It wouldn't shock me if there's an upset.
It would be very shocking. But they did it against Cincinnati Bengals. So, I think that the Jets are a better team than the Bengals. But we'll see. Because I was looking at the numbers, and I guess you can run against the Jets. So Stevenson could have a big night tomorrow. Just
play ball controls. Run the ball. Keep Rodgers on the sidelines. Make the game messy. You got a chance to win.
Yes, you got a chance to win. So next week, it's going to be our 100th episode. And I know that I say 100 episode, but there was some Red Sox... you know, when they made the playoffs, sprinkled in there. So it hasn't been all football. And I think there was some Celtics sprinkled in there, but 100 episodes, it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. We'll celebrate, man.
We'll celebrate somehow. So until we talk next week, I say peace.
Peace. Hey guys, that's the show. Thank you for all your support. If you got any questions, feel free to email it to simsportsmedia@gmail.com. Once again, simsportsmedia@gmail.com. Thanks again.